Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
If you disobey the rules, you get cut off.
All right. We have been duly warned. By
so
the way,
don't
did you
mess with me when it comes to words like that?
We'll see about that. Cyrus?
No heat, no judgment.
Cyrus?
Your hamburger comes with a dose of misogyny.
Well, that's my question. I just wanted to, does the taco come with a dose of misogyny?
No. No. Good. It comes with some salsa and hot sauce. And
your hamburger comes with a dose of misogyny.
Like, I'm sorry to break it to you, Chad.
No, you're not. You're not sorry.
I'm not sorry at all.
You're not sorry at all. Okay. 888-914-9149. Thank you for listening. So we need to talk about what's going on in Florida right now, because there's this wildly inaccurate narrative that has basically taken over social media and I'd say the media in general with regard to Florida House Bill 1557. People are stupidly calling it the Don't Say Gay bill. The word gay is nowhere in it. But even that's kind of beside the point, because that's not the point of this bill. To give you an example, there's this growing movement on social media, which will probably wind up, you know, successful, to boycott Disney because the CEO of Disney, Bob Chapek, he's refusing to publicly condemn this Florida bill called that everyone's calling Don't Say Gay. According to DNYUZ.com, he's facing harsh scrutiny on social media after declaring in a memo that the Walt Disney Company unequivocally stands with LGBTQ plus employees, but wouldn't condemn the controversial bill making its way through the Florida legislature. He said in his memo to staff, he says, "We are committed to creating a more inclusive company and world. I understand that the very need to reiterate that comment means we still have more work to do." And so the Florida Senate is going to be voting soon. In fact, today, very likely, on this bill. And I'm going to share the bill with you just so that you know what's in it as opposed to what everybody is saying is in the bill. In his memo, the CEO of Disney, he also pledged a $3 million donation to help support the work of LGBTQ plus organizations. So he's trying to fend off the mob, you know, the Twitter mob that's coming after him because he's not dancing to their tune. So that's going on. You see it all over social media. And it's being portrayed as Don't Say Gay. So we have a little audio that involves an altercation, not a physical altercation, but it has to do with the governor of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, dealing with a question from a reporter who's also perpetuating this false narrative. But before we get to that, how about if we do that now, Cyrus? What do you think? We'll play that audio first, and then I'd like to share what's in the bill.
That's good. And this narrative is going all over the place. All over TikTok, you have these people. Yeah. It's all the Can't Say Gay bill and how you would think that they're talking about, you know, 17, 18-year-old kids.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's little kids.
It's little kids. And yeah. This was on Saturday. I always watch the Saturday Night Live news, and they had a whole three-minute skit with Kate McKinnon about this, and it was the same narrative that we're seeing all over the place.
So I'm going to read the bill, okay, so everybody knows exactly what's in it. But why don't we play? So this is at a press conference,
okay?
And Governor DeSantis, he's basically swatting this guy down because the way he's you'll hear it. So this is at a press conference. I believe it was yesterday.
Parental rights and education, what critics call the Don't Say Gay bill, is on the Senate.
Does it say that in the bill?
I know that you support.
Does it say that in the bill?
I'm asking you
to tell me what's in the bill, because you are pushing false narratives. It doesn't matter what critics say.
Well, it says it bans classroom instruction on sexual identity and gender orientation.
For who?
For
for grades pre-K through three. So 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds. And the idea that you wouldn't be honest about that and tell people what it actually says, it's why people don't trust people like you, because you peddle false narratives. And so we disabuse you of those narratives. Right. We're going to make sure that parents are able to send their kid to kindergarten without having some of this stuff injected into their school curriculum.
All right. So that's really the crux of it right there, is that the screamers on the left, which is basically the left, they've sunk their teeth into this story because they can, and they're trying to scare people and whip them into a frenzy with this false, as he put it, this false narrative that you're not allowed to say gay. Now,
I don't want my kindergartner to be talking about sex in any form. Of course not. Let the children be children.
Of course not. That's the whole issue right there. So let me read this to you, and then we'll discuss. 888-914-9149. And this has to do with parental consent and oversight of what the kids are learning in school, especially in these very young age grades. And also, you know, is it age appropriate for these little children to be talking about some of the themes that these very people on the other side very much want to talk to these children about? They're really, really interested in talking to these children about things like sodomy. Maybe we should have the kids out there in the audience go into a different room. So parents, this is a topic that, as I read you the bill, it's not going to be problematic, but maybe the discussion afterward would not be age appropriate. So just exercise good judgment on this issue. So here's the bill. I'm going to read it to you verbatim. A bill to be entitled An Act Relating to Parental Rights in Education, requiring district school boards to adopt procedures that comport with certain provisions of law for notifying a student's parent of specified information, requiring such procedures to reinforce the fundamental rights of parents to make decisions regarding the upbringing and control of their children in a specified manner, prohibiting the procedures from prohibiting a parent from accessing certain records. I'm going to pause there. What this is referring to, this is kind of the preamble, and it states, it's sort of going through, we're going to do this and this and this and this and this. And one of the thises is the way in which devious school teachers, and you'll hear, I think we have some audio from at least one or two of them, who are crowing proudly on TikTok about how they plan to be devious to prevent you as a parent from knowing what's really going on in your child's classroom, as well as devious and deceptive administrators, school boards, etc. So what it's saying is, in that particular line, it's saying that it will prohibit them from prohibiting you as a parent from accessing your children's records in school, and really anything pertaining to your child in his school context, you as a parent have a right to see and access at will if you wish. And part of the law is basically saying the schools can't block you from seeing anything that has to do with your child if you want to see it. Providing construction, prohibiting a school district from adopting procedures or student support forms that prohibit school district personnel from notifying you as a parent about specified information, or that encourage or have the effect of encouraging a student to withhold from you as a parent such information. Prohibiting school district personnel from discouraging or prohibiting parental notification and involvement in critical decisions affecting a student's mental, emotional, or physical well-being. Providing construction. Prohibiting classroom discussion about sexual orientation or gender identity in certain grade levels or in a specified manner, requiring certain training developed or provided by a school district to adhere to standards established by the Department of Education, requiring school districts to notify you as a parent of health care services and provide you as a parent the opportunity to consent or decline such services. Providing that a specified parental consent does not waive certain parental rights, requiring school districts to provide parents with certain questionnaires or health screening forms and obtain parental permission before administering such questionnaires and forms. Now, it goes on in that same vein for the next paragraph, and it's all very much the same thing. So I will spare you that part. That's lines 35 through 47. It also provides for authorizing you as a parent to bring an action against the school district to obtain a declaratory judgment that a school district's procedure or practice violates certain provisions of the law, provides for the additional award of injunctive relief, damages, and reasonable attorney fees and court costs to certain parents, requiring school districts to adopt policies to notify parents of certain rights, providing instruction, requiring the department to review and update as necessary specified materials by a certain date, providing the effective date. So that's the preamble. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Florida, and then it gets down to the specifics, under powers and duties of the district school board, in accordance with the rights of parents enumerated in paragraph blah, 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 adopt procedures for notifying a student's parent if there is a change in the student's services or monitoring related to the student's mental, emotional, or physical health or well-being, and the school's ability to provide a safe and supportive learning environment for the student. So if you're sending your child to school and something changes, whereby, for example, your 13-year-old, no, in this case, we're talking about pre-kindergarten, kindergarten. So let's say that your 4-year-old starts expressing, because she was coached to do so, that she thinks she might be a boy. This bill is saying to the schools, you can't not notify the parents. You must let them know if there's some significant change in health and well-being, mental health, physical health, emotional health, etc. You have to let the parents know. And as a parent, don't you want to know? I mean, wouldn't you want the school to do the right thing and say, hey, there's been a change here. Something's going on. We just want you to know about that. Of course you'd want to know that. The procedures must reinforce the fundamental right of parents to make decisions regarding the upbringing and control of their children by requiring school district personnel to encourage a student to discuss issues relating to his or her well-being with his or her parent, or to facilitate discussion of the issue with the parent. The procedures may not prohibit parents from accessing any of their students' education and health records created, maintained, or used by the school district. The reason this is in here is because this is exactly what many of these school districts are doing, is they're intentionally concealing this stuff from the parents. So the law, when it's enacted, will prohibit them from doing that. Line 82 and forward, it says a school district may not adopt procedures or student support forms that prohibit school district personnel from notifying a parent. It goes on in that vein. So just to condense that section, it's basically saying that the school districts by law now cannot not tell you if something is going on. This is the hot button issue right here. It begins in line 97. And this is why they're calling it wrongly the Don't Say Gay bill. This is section 3. Classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through grade 3 or in a manner that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards. So let's pause on that for a minute. Cyrus, this is what you were alluding to. These are little, little kids. They're not just little kids. They're little kids. They're hardly beyond the age of a toddler. So pre-K, that's going to be what, 4 years of age typically? The people on the other side of this, the ones who are screaming about this and boycotting Disney and all over frothing and foaming at the mouth all over TikTok and other social media outlets, the reason they're angry is because they want, maybe not personally themselves, but they want people to be able to talk to your 4-year-old child about homosexuality and to suggest to your child that, if you have funny feelings, you know, maybe that means that you're not really a girl. Maybe you're really a boy or vice versa.
I have some audio of someone that wants, that's very upset about this.
Okay.
If you want to, this is...
Yeah,
I'm assuming
it's a TikTok, right?
This is a TikTok, grown okay. man.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, this guy.
Okay, now I want to give you a mental picture here. So appears to be a 20-something guy. He's got a beard. He's also got really long fingernails for some strange reason. But he is, talk about foaming at the mouth, this guy's going berserk as you'll hear in just a minute, and this is on TikTok, he's expressing his outrage that he and or others are not going to be allowed to talk to your four-year-old or five-year-old child about these matters. So let's let it rip. Here's this guy.
As an American citizen, I find it truly disgusting that my country goes 40 steps forward just for people like the governor in Florida to take us 30 steps backwards. Don't say gay, Bill. Are you serious? Don't talk about what I went through and what my fellow gay LGBTQ plus community went through to get me here. Are you serious right now? Is the government sleeping? Why are they letting you do this? Isn't this the free country, the free world, freedom of speech? Don't say
pause,
gay.
Pause, that pause, goes against- pause, pause. We'll come back to him. I just need to point something out. You'll notice as he's slapping his hands and waving his long fingernailed hands around, gesticulating wildly. He wants freedom, but not for you. He wants equality and diversity and non-judgmentalism, but not for you. See, he doesn't want you as a parent to be free to make a decision for your child. He wants the crazies in the school to be free to indoctrinate your children, but he doesn't want you to know about it, and he's outraged that you would have the temerity to demand as a parent that you should be notified if these people, I was tempted to say weasels, I won't say weasels, but if these people come into the pre-K kindergarten classrooms and start teaching your children about deviant sexuality, he finds that absolutely outrageous. So freedom for him, but not for you. Let's continue.
Don't say gay! That goes against freedom of speech. You cannot sit here and say being gay is not a choice when you're not gay. You don't know that. Now you want to make learning about our history illegal? You are literally making it harder for children to feel comfortable because conservative parents feel like it's not okay. They're not gay. It's not their place to talk about it. Stop being concerned with what other people like. This is disgusting.
Well, he was right about one thing.
The very last part, he got it right. I'm going to need some of that duct tape. I thought I could get through this without some duct tape, but
yeah,
I don't think I can.
Not going to happen.
I can feel the pressure building.
Here.
Give me some.
Oh, that's not
another
enough.
Another one. Yeah. You can tell I need more. Oh. Okay. So let's contextualize. Thank you, Cyrus. I think it will hold for the time being. These children are too young for this craziness. They are too young. They're innocent. They don't need to know about those things. And I don't even need to say what those things are because you already know what those things are. Not only do they not need to know these things, they shouldn't know these things because they are innocent.
Come on, man.
No, seriously, Maddie. Welcome back, by the way. It's people like that guy that you just heard, the wildly gesticulating, spittle-flecked meltdown he's having. And a lot of people are having the same kind of meltdown. And it's, you know, it's all virtue signaling anyway. He's only doing it so that he will, so that the people that follow him will cheer him on. That's all that is. But there's a law on the books in, I think, all the states now against grooming. Now, you may say, oh, come on. Are you accusing these teachers? Well, keep in mind the legal definition of grooming when it comes to a child. And you can groom adults, but in the case of a child, the legal definition involves winning them over, gaining a kind of emotional connection or friendship, if you want to call it that. It's not really a friendship. An emotional bond with a child so that, or with the purpose or the intention of, a sexual assault against the child. So what some people are really outraged about is when parents and others rightly say this is a form of grooming, they're outraged because they're saying, well, the legal definition is that you intend to assault this child sexually by gaining this special emotional bond with them. And the teachers are not going to do that. And the people who come in from whatever organization are not going to do that. Well, one of the things that I say in response to that is, oh, really? If you just did a quick Google search on how often teachers prey upon children sexually, typically it's, you know, post-pubescent children, typically, but it does occur with younger children, that's actually a far more common crime than you might imagine. Teachers with students. So it's not to say that it never happens. It happens rather more frequently than you might imagine. So on the one hand, we have the issue of the children are too young for this. It's damaging to them, hugely damaging to them. The second part is they want to do this without you as a parent knowing about it. They want you cut out entirely from the process. Because why? Because you might object to it. You might object to somebody coming into your child's classroom, pre-K, for example, and teaching your little daughter or your little son about deviant sexuality. For them, you are the problem. You are the one who's dangerous and hate-filled because you don't want your innocent son or daughter to be scandalized and indoctrinated by these people. And it is a form of grooming. Maybe it doesn't meet the legal definition of grooming, where the person who's doing the grooming intends to have some sexual encounter with the child. But what do you think these kids are going to be led to do? To experiment. To be thinking about all these brand new ideas that they never even occurred to them, any of these things before. And they have the teachers cajoling them and encouraging them. And what do you think the children will eventually do but to go further, at least in terms of experimentation? I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to realize just how badly damaged these children will be and how susceptible they are to that at an early age. Did we have a second clip? I think we had a teacher, didn't we, Cyrus? Who was, you know, slyly winking into the camera and saying, I'm still going to do this. Do we have that audio?
I don't have that handy. Okay. I think I can find it, though, so maybe we can get to it in the next segment.
Okay, that would be good. We need to take a break. There's a little bit more of the bill, and rather than read the whole thing, because at this point it just goes into the school districts and the schools and the teachers and the administrators' requirement under the law now that they must notify parents, and they give kind of the whys and wherefores of how that needs to be. There's 163 lines in this bill, and I've read you over half of it verbatim. The rest of it you can read for yourself. Just go to the show Twitter feed, at P Madrid Show. You'll find it on the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick. It's a PDF. It's from the state of Florida. You can read it in their own words. No spin. You decide for yourself, and we'll continue the conversation on the other side of this quick timeout.
Has everybody gone nuts around here?
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Compellingly inclusive and fully woke. Diverse and unpredictable conversations. Equality for your day. Your non-triggering, non-toxic ally. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
She forgot organic, free range, and cage free.
She did.
You need to get that redone.
All right. I'll work on that.
And good for you. Well, okay. So I'm just sharing this stuff with you about this bill in Florida, just so that you're aware of it, because all you're going to hear pretty much elsewhere is that it's saying that you can't say the word gay, you can't, you know, teach your children about sexuality. So just one more time for those who are just tuning in. This is the bill that's today, I believe, being voted on in the legislature in Florida. And it looks as though it's going to pass into law today. And it's essentially just saying you as a parent have a right to know everything about what your child is learning and doing in school, and the schools do not have a right to prohibit you from knowing about it, to conceal it from you. That's basic common sense. They also, in this bill, say that for the tenderest of ages, pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, that they're not allowed to teach the children about gender ideology or homosexuality, or for that matter, heterosexuality. They're not supposed to teach the children anything about sex in these early grades, these early ages, because they're too young and they're fragile and they're innocent. And normal people, unlike that guy who was screaming on TikTok a minute ago, normal people like you understand that. The freaks don't understand that. Well, they do understand it, but they don't like it. And they really, 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 really want to talk to these little kids about sexual issues. That's what all this furor is about. That's why they're so angry, is because, you know, some actual adults have said, stop it. We're not going to allow you to do this. We're not going to allow you to trample on our children's innocence this way. And it's got them infuriated. And you know, one reason why they're so furious is because they're so used to getting their own way. They're so accustomed now to just roll over the parents because parents allow it to happen by and large. And so now that there is some resistance to what they've been doing with impunity for quite a long time now, it just really outrages them that you as a parent would dare to assert that maybe you have a say in what your child learns at school, not them. So, Cyrus, we've got a couple audio clips. The first one is really brief. This is a teacher, and she is, and it's all on TikTok. It's weird. Like, if you want to have a window into hell, go on TikTok. Go on Libs of TikTok in particular. So set this up for us, Cyrus. This is a teacher.
You were talking about grooming.
Smiling. Yeah.
And so this is on TikTok. This is a definition of a groomer parent. So here is a teacher talking right to the camera. She's in, you know, she's talking to kids. Who's on TikTok? Our children are, right? So this is very quick. Give this a listen.
Okay.
Do you want a super easy and trick question to exploring gender identity with your kids? Try this. Do you sometimes feel more like a girl or more like a boy or maybe them both or neither?
That's the whole thing. But she's got a kind of smirk on her face.
Yeah. So what she said, just in case you didn't hear it, she's like, do you want a super easy entry question to exploring gender identity with your kids? Try this. And then she says, so this is what you'd be asking. This is what the teacher or the parent should be asking their little kid. Do you sometimes feel more like a girl or more like a boy or maybe even both or neither?
Mm-hmm.
How about you just let the kid be a kid and play? And
that's outrageous.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right.
Well, I keep coming back to it, and I think it needs to. This bears repeating. They want to sexualize little children. Now, maybe not for their own personal gratification, ideological gratification, sure. Personal gratification, in any given case, I think we could say, okay. You're not grooming this child for the purpose of you exploiting the child. But they want to sexualize these children to get to kind of prime the pump, for lack of a better word. I mean, to kind of grease the skids, to get things going so that the children will become sexually active as early as possible. That's what they want. That's why they want them to know this information. Okay, the second one, this one is somebody who's talking about how it's just beyond, it's beyond parody in the ideology in some cases. I know this sounds ridiculous, but I don't even know how to explain this one, Cyrus, because it's like they want to go beyond the schools and into the kennels, into the animal kingdom. How would you describe
this? Is this the teacher that she's in her car?
No, this is the second one. This is the one. Okay, so we'll come back to that one. Let's go to the teacher in her car. So this is a teacher. She's bragging about how she hides changes to her students' names and pronouns from the parents. This is her. It seems like this is an epidemic. You sit in your car and you talk into your phone to record your video. Anyway, so here's her describing as a teacher how she performs this guerrilla warfare against the parents.
I never tell parents, period. On their survey at the beginning of the year, when it asked for preferred name and pronouns, it also asked for what you want me to refer to as when I call home and what pronouns to use. So then I just make sure when I'm calling home, I use what they prefer when I call home. Even if someone told me I couldn't do that and I couldn't call them whatever they want or the pronouns they want without parent permission, I would still do it. I never tell parents.
All right. She's chortling with glee. So anyway, there it is. Cyrus will post the links to the videos if you care to see those as well. But this is being done not to be doom and gloom, not to not have hope and encouragement, but because these kids are at risk. Your kids are at risk if you're in the public schools. And I would not be able to look myself in the mirror if I knew about this and didn't tell you about it, if I didn't warn you about it. So I think this has run its course, hopefully, and we'll see what happens in Florida. And who knows, maybe other states will get wise to this problem and enact similar legislation. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Denise in St. John, Indiana. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Patrick. Second time I'm calling you this week, but I'm a religious ed teacher. I teach fourth grade, and this just really, again, was something on the opposite side of this. This Sunday, I'm showing my children Jesus of Nazareth, and I think mm-hmm. you are familiar with the movie, yeah. And I forgot that they were going to come to the very, I didn't know what to do for one moment. They came to the part of Christ's circumcision, and the rabbi took out this huge knife, and of course they don't show it, but the baby begins to cry. Mm-hmm. One of my boys, he just said, well, what were they doing to him? And I stopped and I said, well, honey, it's a ritual in, you know, when Jesus was a little boy and from the beginning of, you know, time and blah, blah, blah. And thankfully, right after Mass, I mean, after teaching, we go right to Mass. And I saw his mom and I walked up to her and I explained the whole thing. And I said, I need you to do what needs to be done here. He wants to know. So she thanked me. And I'm not saying this because I'm this brilliant teacher, but out of respect, I have been asked about suicide. I have been asked about abortion from fourth graders. So if only the world would say, okay, these are my children. I'm teaching them. I love them. But their parents are the first. After God comes the parents. That's where our society is really, really messed up.
I would agree. And this is why I was pleased to see the Florida bill come to a vote, because that's in essence what they're doing there. They're upholding the right of the parents to know, not only to know what's going on, but to have a say and to stop it if something is happening with their child that they don't want to happen. It's very important, as you know.
It is. And I have, you know, I have grandchildren. My grandson is 12, and I do every day wonder. And my daughter says she's a little disappointed that many things, they're not having this communication with the teachers. So, you know, I'm worried. But again, if only we could just respect parental rights. So I'm very happy that Florida is doing what it's doing.
Agreed. Yeah. And let's hope that that spreads. And more states will follow suit. Well, thank you for being such a good teacher, Denise, and letting the mom know about that situation. It is, obviously, it's a sensitive topic. And by the time you get into, you know, I suppose grammar school, it would be something that the parents could explain to their children. And the fact that it has religious significance, you know, is all the more of a reason to explain that to a child. But it's not something for young kids, that's for sure. Denise, thank you. I appreciate it. And how ironic, by the way, you know, because circumcision was intended for 8-day-old children, 8-day-old boys. So, I mean, obviously you can't get much younger than that. But explaining why that's done, at least in Judaism, I think should wait until the child is old enough to process that information. Let's go now to Julie in Minnesota. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Patrick. I'm so happy to be on the air with you. I listen to you all the time, and I thank you for so much for what you do.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm so glad to be on, because this is my day off, so I get to talk with you. And Cyrus, too. I enjoy all the interaction between the two of you. But I was calling in about the what you read from Ron DeSantis in Florida, because I really like him. And I think that he is just spot on, and he addressed the media today. I had seen that already, but I do believe there's indoctrination going on in the schools. For a little while, I was had a job as a para professional, and I kind of floated around the metro area schools and happened to go to this one school and I was in a classroom of kindergartners, and they had art that day. So we headed down to the art room, and the person that was teaching the class wanted to be addressed as MX. So on the front of the desk, instead of Mr. or Mrs., there was MX. And I didn't really notice it at first. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't really, you know, I mean, I don't even recall the person's name, but then when we got in there, I kind of noticed this MX on the desk. And then the lesson was on emotions. So there were like four faces, you know, blank faces drawn on the board. And then the first question to the kids was, so we're going to talk about emotions today. Can somebody name an emotion? So they're little kids. So one of the little girls raised their hand and said, happy. And the teacher says, that's an emotion. So how do you think we should show that? Oh, they're all saying, oh, smile. Now what hairstyle should we give this?
Forgive my interruption. We have a break coming. So I know you have a point you want to make.
Yeah.
I just don't want you to get cut off by the break. So.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep. So anyway, I was saying that the teacher was telling them to give a hairstyle, and the one girl said girl. And then, he said, well, gender and hairstyle, there's not, you know, it doesn't identify with girl or boy. It's it can be, anybody can have any hairstyle. So he's kind of getting to that indoctrination thing. So anyway, I just felt like that it is in the schools, and, that it is absolutely subtly, you know, taken in there.
Yeah, that's, you know, for sure.
So.
And this was a public school, so, take it, right, Julie?
It is a public school, the charter school, and the kids, you know, and then it continued with the other three faces. So yeah,
got it. Interesting times that we live in, isn't that the case, Julie? Thank you. Isn't it also interesting that when somebody calls himself transgender, he adopts the stereotypical appearance of the opposite sex? Isn't that interesting? I'll be right back with more right after this. Today's programming sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Information on their health plans available at CatholicHealthShare.com. That's CatholicHealthShare.com.
Patrick Madrid is on Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
Now that's what I call a taco.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149.
Taco Town!
That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Taco Town!
I have something for your good-to-know file. And I'll give you the cash value quickly here. This is in the Philippines, reported by the New York Post. Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte has signed into law a bill that raises the minimum age of sexual consent. You ready for this? From 12 to 16.
Ew.
Yeah, I didn't realize that in the Philippines that the age of consent was 12. It's actually lower in Nigeria. It's 11. In Nigeria, so under the laws there, a child of 11, you get the idea. So I welcome this. Duterte is kind of a wild man, and I don't know what to make of the guy. He seems, in some ways, you know, quite unusual. But in any case, I hail this as a step in the right direction by raising the age of consent to 16. So, anyway, I just wanted you to know about that. We have a lot of Filipino listeners. Let's see. Let's go to Chris in Feasterville, Pennsylvania. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Patrick. I have a question about a point that you mentioned during the first hour. I think you said something to the effect that if a person is a Catholic and they abandon the Catholic Church, they cannot be saved. My question, Patrick, is suppose the individual doesn't realize the severity of what he or she is doing in leaving the Catholic Church. For example, let's say you have a Catholic who joins a Protestant congregation, leaves the church, but they don't realize the seriousness of what they're doing, no longer believing that the Catholic Church is the true church. Would that individual still have a chance of being saved?
Well, everybody has a chance of being saved. Just to answer your question from the biblical standpoint, as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that God wills all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And that includes those Catholics who leave the Catholic Church, either out of ignorance or malice or some other combination of things. So everyone has an opportunity for salvation through repentance. But all other things being equal, if somebody leaves the Catholic Church with at least sufficient knowledge of what he's doing, objectively speaking, that is a grave sin, to be sure. The question really is, to what extent is the person personally culpable for that sin? So ignorance would diminish culpability, pressure from somebody else, fear, scandal. There are other things that could impinge upon the person's knowledge or ability to understand what he was doing, and thus diminish his culpability. But ultimately, only God could know the state of that person's soul. So what the church says is that, objectively speaking, if you're a Catholic and you abandon the Catholic Church, you're not going to be saved unless you repent and return. But what about all the people who left because of fear, or they were so badly scandalized that emotionally they just couldn't bring themselves to go back to Mass again? What about people like that? Well, the church says in that case, we trust in the mercy of God because he alone knows the state of that person's soul. So what we are able to do is to say, this is the rule, this is the guideline that Jesus established, and everything else we have to leave in God's hands because he's God. So I think that's the way the church would answer your question about people who leave the church through ignorance or for some other reason that maybe isn't quite their fault. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, Patrick. Thank you so much for your answer.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And it's a good question, very good question. How about Sean now in Sacramento? Good morning, Sean. Welcome.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Yes. Good morning, Patrick, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Curious your thoughts on prayer with this in mind. Say I have a situation I'm praying for, and it will end in situation A, the person lives. Situation B, the person heads to their final exit interview, as you say.
Okay.
We know that God knows the desires of our hearts. Two, we know that our ways are not always God's ways, and we may not ever know this side of heaven why God wills situation A or situation B. Mm-hmm. My thoughts then went to, why not cut down on my prayer list? And respectfully, I'm not, you know, upset with God or anything. It's just my mm-hmm. thoughts. Why not cut down on my prayer list and rather focus my asking the Lord for graces to better understanding and accepting his ways? Mm-hmm. Am I articulating that right?
And, I think so, yeah. I'm reminded, as you're asking the question, Sean, of what Jesus said when he was asked by the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray, and he gives the Our Father prayer. And the part in there where he says, thy will be done. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, he says. So that, to me, seems to get to the heart of your question, which is, Lord, here are the things that I think I need or that I think other people need, and I'm asking you for those things, but thy will be done. So if your will is not for that, then so be it. I want to do what you will. Now, I don't think I would suggest that you eliminate your prayer intentions because Jesus said that you should bring those prayer intentions to the Father. He says that he already knows what you need before you ask him, but he wants you to ask him. So Jesus he never discouraged us from saying to the Lord, here are the things that I think I need or want or for other people. So I would continue to do that, maybe a both and as opposed to an either or, if that makes sense.
Right. But so doesn't it seem to be a bit, not certainly not a waste of time, but it's like, well, since God does know, I mean, I understand that we're given the guidance to you know, speak our desires to God in prayer. Mm-hmm. Because we don't understand why God wills a, you know, situation A or situation B. He knows what our desires are, you know, that in this case, I certainly would hope the individual lives. We pray for a certain outcome. God already knows what our desires are, but we also hope that, okay, even though we are going to have pain and suffering in our lives against what we desire, what our prayers are, we trust that God's will is better, even though we may not know the side of heaven why something went a certain way. I just struggle with, as I was having this conversation with myself in prayer, so why am I even asking for a particular thing other than, you know, we're given the guidance in scripture to vocalize it.
Sorry to interrupt you. If I could put it in a different way, are you asking what's the point if God already knows what we want and God is already going to do what he wants done? What's the point of prayer?
Yes, and yeah, absolutely, Patrick. Absolutely. That's better well said. And certainly not in any kind of disrespectful way am I having this conversation with the Lord as I was praying. It was just like, well, gosh, you know, why not just pray for the graces to better understand your ways and accept them rather than, you know, because exactly like you said, you know, and I was just wondering what your thoughts are, because I've asked a few people this, and to include some priests, and they simply tell me, well, it's important to share what's on your mind, even though God knows. And so I was like, that just isn't really, and maybe it's not a fair question it can't be really answered.
And I think it's a very good question, and one that probably many people, when they stop and think about it, they wrestle with it, because it seems to be a conundrum. If God already knows what's going to happen and his will is what we're asking to be done, why do we bother telling him what we're interested in when what we're interested in may not have anything to do with what God wants for us? So I think it's a very important question. Now, St. John, he speaks about this a little bit in 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. He says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." So he's sort of enfolding the two things together here, that we have our desires, and we're asking that the Lord would accomplish these desires for us or for other people according to his will. And so when you're praying with that in mind, Lord, thy will be done, that gives us this confidence to go to him and say, this is what we want. Now, in the short time that I've got, I'll propose this to you. I think the solution to the conundrum is this, is that God's providence, which is his constantly unfolding plan for our happiness, which is very mysterious at times to us, it includes our prayers. So his providence, from all eternity, God knows obviously everything that happens, because for him it all happens all at once. He doesn't see into the future. He doesn't remember the past the way we do. For God, everything is now. So to put it briefly, part of God's providence is your prayer, and it's built into his ever-unfolding plan for our salvation. And the same could be said, I think, also about the lack of prayer. Certain things happen because of the lack of prayer. So much more to say, Sean, but thank you for listening to that. I will be right back with Hour 3 right after this. Now!